This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Noel and Lynn in the studio this morning. And in about half an hour, we'll be talking about fresh graduate salaries with Dr. Joyta Mohamad of the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. We've also got a poll running for you on Twitter. Lynn, what's the poll and what are the options?
So we're asking you what would be the most helpful to raise entry-level wages for graduates. We've had 53 votes so far. 40% have said clear economic policy, 11% more FDI, 36% raise minimum wage, 13% improve graduate skills. Now, about 10 minutes ago, raise minimum wage was in the lead. It's fallen behind just slightly, but it's still pretty neck and neck. It could go any way.
Yes, get your votes in as soon as you can. And in the meantime, let's talk about Dato' Sri Hishamuddin's visit to China. As Foreign Minister Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein held his first visit to China last week, where he met with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi in Fujian.
Yeah, so Malaysia was invited for this one-on-one bilateral meetings along with foreign ministers of three other ASEAN countries. They would be Singapore, Indonesia and the Philippines. So they were all held in the same week. I think what garnered a lot of interest in Malaysia was that the comments made by Hishamuddin at the joint press conference with Wang Yi, where he appeared to refer to Wang Yi as the elder brother. And so I think netizens and commentators pounced on that phrase to mean that Malaysia was viewing itself as a subordinate to China.
Yes, but Hishamuddin did later clarify on Twitter that what he meant was he meant it as a respectful term towards Wang Yi himself in a personal capacity and not in reference to Malaysia-China bilateral tensions, relations which are on equal footing.
But despite the clarification, I mean, the comments have seemed to overshadow the overall outcome of the visit. So today we're looking beyond the controversy and asking how significant was this really for Malaysia-China relations? And what kind of a relationship does Malaysia seek with China amidst the global geopolitical tussle of power that we're seeing?
And joining us to discuss this is Professor Dr. Johan Saravanamuthu, Professor Emeritus at University of Science Malaysia. He's also an adjunct senior fellow at the AIS Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Good morning, Dr. Johan. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, the foreign minister's comments garnered a lot of negative attention. What do you make of it? Was it a faux pas on Hishamuddin's part?
Yeah, I think it was a faux pas in the sense that if one is the foreign minister of a country, one should not come on in such a manner. One should be a bit more measured in one's sort of comments, especially in this rather special relationship with China. Although what he said could have, you know, a modicum of truth to it. You know, we know that China is very strong. The relationship with Malaysia and China is asymmetric. And we worry that our relationship with China can become over-dependent. So I think, you know, he has been criticized for that. And he did explain why he used the term elder brother. He was just referring to his counterpart, Wang Yi, and not China as such. So I think it was a bit of a faux pas. But, you know, if truth be told, China is indeed a very, very strong, you know, has a very strong relationship with Malaysia. It has been the largest trading partner for Malaysia for the past 12 years. You know, and it also has become the largest investor for the past for FDI. I'm not entirely sure about portfolio investment, but I'm sure that's also probably true for the past 4 years. You know, China's Geely has taken over Proton for all intents and purposes. Etc. So there is a very a sort of strong relationship between China and Malaysia right now.
During the visit, Malaysia and China agreed to establish a high-level committee for post-COVID-19 cooperation. What do you hope this committee would achieve?
I think it's a very good development. I think you know, Malaysia should really leverage on this special relationship with China. I think Hishamuddin has sort of explained that, among other things, it's looking at the whole COVID pandemic situation. Malaysia will be getting a couple of vaccines from China, Sinovac and another one. Is setting up a one-stop center to facilitate small business travelers, etc., etc., palm oil trade. So we should definitely leverage on this, what I would call a special relationship with China, which was set up way back in 1974. When Malaysia was the first ASEAN state to recognize China. And it was actually continued, you know, a fortiori with greater strength by Najib, the former prime minister, his son of Tun Razak, after all, when he really embraced the Belt and Road Initiative that was introduced by China in 2013. And we know that Malaysia has really got involved in this in a very big way, yes.
So then how would you assess the Perikatan National Government's approach towards China, especially amidst the backdrop of broader geopolitical tensions between China and the US?
The PN's approach to China has not significantly changed when you compare it with previous Malaysian governments, I would say. Malaysia has basically kept a non-aligned position, basically a neutral position. Some political analysts will call it a hedging position vis-a-vis China. And I think that is a very wise thing to do. We should not be aligned in any sort of political way to China. But as I said, we have a very strong economic relationship. And geopolitically, of course, Malaysia has interests in the South China Sea, which clashes with China. Malaysia is a claimant to the South China Sea features. It's occupied about 5 or 6 islands, or I'm not sure. Sorry, islands as well as features. And there have been some recent incidents, you might say, between China and Malaysia. So that relationship with China vis-a-vis South China Sea is now pretty tense, I would say, and not just with Malaysia, it's also with the other major powers involved and with the ASEAN states as well. So Malaysia should maintain its current non-aligned policy and take care of its interests in a measured sort of way vis-a-vis China.
Now, speaking of ASEAN, Malaysia was one of the 4 ASEAN countries invited to the meetings last week. How do you think China views its relationship with us, Malaysia, compared to the rest of ASEAN?
As I said, I think China views Malaysia as I think I would call it also a kind of special relationship. Now, no, don't forget that Malaysia is very strategically situated. You know, the peninsula and even East Malaysia is these two land masses. In the middle of that you have the South China Sea. So Malaysia is a very important, I think, player. In that sense, although Malaysia is not a very big player. So as I said, this is a very important relationship with China. In ASEAN, Malaysia has followed ASEAN's approach, which is basically to negotiate with China on the basis of what is called a code of conduct. It was something that started called a declaration of conduct years ago in 2002. And the negotiations are continuing. It's a multilateral approach towards China, which I think is very good as well. Although I must say that China, in terms of its foreign policy, China sort of relies on its bilateral relations. So in a sense, Malaysia is one of the more important countries in Southeast Asia in this relationship with China. So it should leverage on this relationship. At the same time, I think we should be very careful to not become too overly dependent on China economically and politically.
Just one follow-up there, Doctor. Malaysia is a very important partner in the region, and you've mentioned that the location, right, the strategic location of the peninsula is something that we've seen in history books as well. It's gotten a certain allure to foreign powers. Is that the extent of Malaysia's strategic value to China, its location?
Not necessarily. As I said, you have the Belt and Road Initiative. It's not just a strategic location. Malaysia is also... some people would even like to think of Malaysia as an aspiring middle power. So Malaysia plays important roles. It plays an important role within the context of Southeast Asia. Malaysia is a predominantly Muslim state. Now, this is very important for China. China sort of wants to have good relationships with a country which has a moderate sort of perspective on Islam and so on. So that is another. Of course, Indonesia is a larger country here. But Malaysia has been quite prominent in terms of its policies vis-a-vis Muslim issues, for example.
Well, many countries sit on the fence, including us and Singapore, when it comes to the US-China trade tensions. How could ASEAN project itself more strongly to forge a new way forward? Because it might come to a point where we are forced to take sides.
At the moment, ASEAN has played it cool, you might say. It hasn't taken sides. You remember that the Trump administration put forward something called the free and open Indo-Pacific idea, which was sort of a counterpoint to the China's Belt and Road Initiative. And the ASEAN position was that, you know, we don't take sides, that we consider, you know, the... In fact, I would say that the ASEAN countries as a whole had basically been part of the Belt and Road Initiative of China, and some have become a little bit more dependent than others. But at the same time, there is a strong relationship with the Western powers. So this is what many of my friends, colleagues who write about these things call hedging. Malaysia and ASEAN do this sort of hedging policy. It varies from country to country. So you get a country like Myanmar, which is more dependent. You get a country like Cambodia, which is almost, you know, I shouldn't say, but very, very dependent on China. So we should be a country in the middle which plays that kind of politics without becoming too dependent on China.
Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Professor Dr. Johan Saruhanmuthu, Professor Emeritus at University of Science Malaysia and Adjunct Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. We also had this conversation yesterday with the Bigger Picture and Evening Edition teams, who discussed the Elder Brother comments at length yesterday with a variety of experts. Look up the podcast for the Daily Digest and Insight story to hear more perspectives on this. Right now, though, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be speaking to economist Alejandra Grindal on Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure plan that's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.